And now, From Wheels to Wings, starring Bill Stern. From New York City, your Army and your Air Force present From Wheels to Wings, a transcribed true story of Captain Eddie Rickenbacker and narrated by Mr. Bill Stern.
Yes, come with me, Lucille, or Helen, Peg, Shirley, wherever you are, because I'd like to tell you about a little-known period in the life of a man you all know and admire. Somewhere in your lifetime, I'm almost certain you've heard him called Hero. As a hero inspiring to all Americans, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker had few peers. As a chapter in American history, his story covers the most thrilling years in the development of the modern power transportation, both on highways and airways. So come with me and notice that the age of the automobile is upon us back in 1905. Mrs. Stern's son, Bill, was just a little shaver then, while out in Ohio in the city of Columbus, capital seat of the Buckeye State, was the boyhood stamping grounds of Eddie Rickenbacker. Those were the days of Diamond Jim Brady, the days of the legend of Steve Brody and the Brooklyn Bridge. Yep, the age of the machine had dropped in on the turn of the century with the force of a bomb, of course, with a lot less noise and destruction, but nevertheless, some noise. It's Memorial Day, 1911. The grounds of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway echo the sounds of roaring racing cars. Red brick dust mixes with the cheers of an eager and perhaps a crowd anticipating a crack-up. A crowd that gathered to watch wherever clever Ralph DePalma, dashing Roy Heron, reckless David Bruce Brown, cigar-puffing Barney Oldfield, or Eddie Razzlatazz Rickenbacker appeared on a program of a motor car race. Then, as one, every person in Indianapolis glances at watches. They say 9:59, 10 o'clock. The bomb starting this classic has gone off, and a cheer rises. The race is on. The green flag signifying the start is official. Blends with Christmas-like contrast against the red brick track. In the pit, several men watched with anxious and critical eyes. This was the first 500-mile auto race ever held. Anything could happen.
They gotta do it, Dick. They just gotta. $20,000 worth.
Ah, they'll make it, Van. A team like Eddie Rickenbacker and Lee Frayer, plus Rick's Razzmatazz, they can't lose. That's all there is to it.
But Frayer and Rickenbacker lost that race to cigar-puffing Barney Oldfield. But the races Rick would win came later in Providence, Omaha, Brooklyn, Sioux City, Iowa. Incidentally, that race in Sioux City was one in which Rick probably won and learned more than in any of his entire career. Like to see that race? Well, come on, let's go. It's the Union County Speedway. The prize at stake, $10,000, $5,000, and $2,500 for first, second, and third. The wise money's on Barney Oldfield, the track-smoking Bob Berman. The car Rick is driving is a Duesenberg named Lady Luck, a friend of his that stayed with him all these years. Wait, it's just about noontime. A pack of cars are racing down the stretch. The green flag drops, and here they come, wheel to wheel, hub to hub. Watch out there. Heads up on that first turn. Whew, that was close as they jockeyed into position on the turn. This is a rip-roaring contest right from the start. The engines are spouting flames, each car rumbling and swaying through the tire-plowed furrows of the track. Those madly spinning wheels are shooting up steam and gumbo, solid squirts of stone and gravel, clouds of sun-baked dirt. Out there on that fourth turn, two blowouts. Look at Barney Oldfield. He's out of control. He's at the inside guardrail. He's okay, but Barney's out of the race. There goes Berman, the other favorite. He's practically on fire. Out in front is Spent Wishart. Right behind him is Rickenbacker. He's really neat as Razzmatazz now against Wishart. Following Rick are several others. He's the start of the 148th lap. Looks like Rick's having a little trouble with the mechanic out there in the backstretch. 149th lap coming up. There's Wagner, the starter, waving the white flag. One lap to go, it says. Wishart falling behind Rickenbacker. Here they come down the stretch. And here goes the checkered flag. Eddie Rickenbacker is first. Second is Wishart. And third, Mulford. The race is over. And Eddie Rickenbacker rides Lady Ruck in to take home the bacon. Yes, sir. The bacon on $10,000. That evening, the Sioux City Telegram carried a screaming seven-column head. Rickenbacker captures first place. That's right. Eddie Rickenbacker captured first place in that race, but he also captured first place in the hearts of the public and his opponents as well. Ralph DePaulmint's comment in a hotel lobby after the race sums up the place that Rick held in the hearts of the men with whom he competed when he said,
"Eddie never knows when he's beaten. He's the most daring and withal the most cautious driver in America today. Before many meets, he'll strike a gait that will send some of us veterans back to reciting our deeds of the past."
That's right, he was a cautious driver. Rick's indifference to danger was what made him a favorite with the public. He was the same sort of a favorite as the heavy, hard-hitting slugger in a prize ring. There was only one rule in his book: give her the gas and keep going. 1916, at the conclusion of the last race Eddie Rickenbacker was destined to enter, he'd won over $75,000 and stood with Barney Oldfield and Ralph DePaulmint as one of the top three racing drivers of the day. But Rick was destined for higher things as he left for England in December of 1916 with plans for his personal dream of what he called the Great American Car. As he worked in the early months of 1917 at the Sunbeam Motor Car Company at Wolverton, the ominous clouds of war hovered close to the shores of his beloved America. Rick hurried home in time for the event that would change his entire career and his entire life.
And the lifeboat! Put them in the cover first! Oh, yeah, don't push! Take your time! Take your time! Get away from there! Get away from there!
Yes, the Lusitania had been torpedoed by a submarine. Other acts of violence, sabotage, the Black Tom explosions in New Jersey, and many others meant this was war. Uncle Sam didn't wait long. He rolled up his sleeves and... And over there went the doughboy, all of Uncle Sam's available best. Rick went, too, as a driver on General Blackjack Pershing's staff of the AEF. And Sergeant Eddie Rickenbacker, Eddie the strategist, was making plans as they sped overseas for a campaign that would give him the opportunity to flying and winning the war quicker as a pilot than as a staff car driver. Oh, he had no intention of driving staff cars in France. No, sir. He was going to fly, earn the silver rings of a pilot.
Hey, driver. Hey, Sarge.
Huh? Oh, what do you want, Corporal?
The major says to get this heap ready to drive him up to the front. He's got to get there fast, and brother, when Major Dodd's in a hurry, he's in a big hurry. He's an aviator, you know.
Yeah, I know he flies. I ran into him out in California. Don't worry, it'll be fast.
Have a good trip, Sarge.
We will, thanks. Of course, excuse me, Major.
I know, Sergeant. Dreaming about being a flyer. Better give up those thoughts. You're too valuable a driver to lose. To Verdun.
Yes, sir.
Excuse me, Colonel. Can we be...
Oh, hello there, Colonel Mitchell.
Hello, Don.
Having motor trouble, eh?
Yes, I am having trouble getting a driver that's a good mechanic.
Oh, how about my driver? He fixed my airplane out in the California desert about 2 years ago. Seems to be pretty handy.
Oh, that's all. All right, Sergeant.
Rickenbacker, sir. Eddie Rickenbacker.
So, you're Eddie Razzmatazz Rickenbacker, eh?
Yes.
Seen you race on occasion. Think that razzmatazz will work on my car?
Well, I'll give it a try, Colonel. I think that has it, sir. All right, let's crank her up.
Well, that's good work, Sergeant. You do know about engines.
He certainly does, and I'm pretty lucky to have such a wonderful driver.
Hey, Colonel? Yes, you are, Major. Very lucky indeed. As a matter of fact, Major, I was just wondering whether you'd consider changing drivers with me. I have to get around quite a bit these days, you know, and I could use a driver who knows how to fix an engine when it gets stubborn. Do you think you could arrange that, Major?
I think so, sir. Sergeant Rickenbacker.
Yes, sir.
You'll drive for Colonel Mitchell from now on.
Yes, sir. What do you think my chances are of getting into the air service, Colonel?
Have ambitions to fly, eh?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Well, forget them. Stick to the job you know, driving.
glum but respectful Eddie that drove Colonel Mitchell back into Paris that day, and as the days drifted into months, a warm friendship had sprung up between the two men on the solid foundation of mutual respect. One day the bearing burned out and the engine gave up the ghost. They walked to the main garage in the town nearby. Colonel Mitchell started berating all cars and all drivers.
This is the last straw. These wing-ding autos are getting my goat. Between drivers and cars, I'll go batty.
Here's a garage, sir. I think I can get it fixed. Pardon, Monsieur. You have some Babbitt metal?
Oui, monsieur. I have some here.
And as Colonel Mitchell watched fascinated and speechless, Eddie made a rough mold of sand and water, melted the metal with a blowtorch, poured it into the mold, and cast a near-perfect bearing. It was crude, but in a few moments he had filed it down smooth. Back to the car they went, fitting the new casting, and it worked.
Well, I didn't know you were such a good mechanic, Eddie. I guess a man who is resourceful enough to make his own bearings might make a good aviator at that.
Yes, sir. And I'll ride anything with a motor in it.
And he did. In the amazing time of 6 weeks, receiving his commission as a second lieutenant in the air service in August of 1917. The rest of the story is on the records. The annals of history will always carry the name of Captain Eddie Rickenbacker as America's ace of aces in World War I. Many times he cheated death from 1917 to 1919 in his aerial exploits and eventually won him America's highest award, the Medal of Honor. We of today know him for his contribution to aviation travel in building up from a small air and freight service, one of the four major airlines, to the gigantic network it is today. We know him, too, for his 23-day heroic fight for survival on a raft in the Pacific during World War II, when once more Eddie Rickenbacker proved that Lady Luck, or what some people term luck, was still waiting with him to bring him from the wheels to wings through war and peace. And now it's with a deep sense of pride and respect I give you Captain Eddie Rickenbacker, who has a word for the young men in our audience, Captain Rickenbacker.
Thank you, Bill Stern. Fellows, it's nice to look back on those days of racing, flying, and so forth. But today I like to feel that my contribution to American air transportation is in an executive position. And we are going to need more and more executives in this field in the future. And you young men listening can also have a career as an executive, too.
That's right, Captain Rickenbacker. The U.S. Air Force is selecting a number of men for responsible positions as U.S. Air Force officers in administrative and technical fields. So, men, if you can qualify and are selected, you'll be given 6 months' training at Air Force Officer Candidate School. Then you'll receive a reserve commission in the Air Force with a job as an executive in air transport, research, management, communications, supply, or other non-flying phases of aviation. And while on active duty, you'll have a good opportunity to earn a regular commission. If you are between the ages of 20 and a half and 26 and a half, with at least 2 years of college or the ability to pass an equivalent examination, don't miss this opportunity. And now, here is Captain Eddie Rickenbacker with a final word for the young men in our audience.
Apply now for the next class. Ask for the details about Air Force Officer Candidate School at your nearest Air Force base or the U.S. Army and U.S. Air Force Recruiting Office. With my best wishes and good luck to all of you.
Thank you, Captain Eddie Rickenbacker and Bill Stern, for that splendid true story. This transcribed program was presented in cooperation with this radio station and starred Bill Stern as narrator. Voice of the Army wishes to thank Bill Stern for his services on this program, which was written by Sergeant Ira L. Hull and directed by Charles Wilkes. This is Joe Ripley speaking.